this evening. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I want to share what I feel like the Lord laid upon my heart for the evening. I'm not going to be able to share everything that I would like to share with you due to time restraints. It'd take hours, and like Brother Charles last week, I appreciate him sharing in the Word of the Lord and giving us the Word of God last week. But as I look at the Word of God on the topic that I want to talk about this evening, I want to talk about the spreading of the gospel and the Great Commission. If you look into the book of Matthew, that's not going to be our text this evening, but just a brief mention of that before we move forward. Where Jesus, again, when he left his disciples before he went back to heaven, that was the main theme of Jesus' ministry and the closing part of what Christ did, is he mentioned the Great Commission. The Great Commission should always be the church's mission. And we'll talk about that here this evening. But in the book of Matthew chapter 28, I do want to read it to you. I'm not going to take the time to expound too much on it. But there in verse number 16, where that, again, Jesus was speaking to the disciples there, and some of them, even after they saw him, they doubted even the resurrection. But there was some in the crowd that actually got it. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The Great Commission has always been seen in verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to pick up reading in verse number 10, and then we're going to try to cover several things. There's going to be quite a bit of reading tonight, and some of the things that I wanted to just share with you is not really going to be a whole lot of commentary on it, but it's simply going to be what Paul was saying to the church there at Corinth. And again, I started talking about Corinth a couple of weeks ago, 1 Corinthians, and as you and I can remember, Corinth is a very vile city, much like much of our larger cities today, where that there was all kinds of evilness and all kinds of wickedness and pagan practices, if you will, abound there in that region, as they would dedicate themselves to the idols and the false gods of that world at that particular time. So we can see when Paul was beginning to write this, Paul wrote this letter to those that he identified as the church, those that he identified as those that were set apart. Paul even used the word sanctified ones, the set apart ones. We've talked about that several services over the last few weeks about sanctification and being set apart. So this message this evening again comes back to the believers at Corinth. So I want you to stretch your hand this way and pray for me, that God would speak to our hearts this evening. Father, we do thank you again for this time that you've given us to come back into your house today. Father, I pray, God, this evening as the Word of God goes forth, I pray, Father God, that it would go forth only the way that you would have it to go forth. Father, I pray for the unction, and I pray for clarity of mind this evening. I pray, God, that you'd touch my mind and touch my heart and touch my life and touch this congregation, as you said to the church there in the book of Revelation, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Father, I pray, God, that you would help us to understand thy word this evening and to apply the word of God to our hearts and to our lives, Father. And we thank you in advance for that you're doing and that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. In verse number 10, I want to pick up reading right there, because Paul, again, is writing to the church. Now, when he was writing to the church, you're going to see something in the very beginning that I today do not feel like that it's a part of what we in this congregation is dealing with. But Paul was dealing with it. And in Paul's dealing with what I'm getting ready to talk about, Paul was able to build a foundation. And that's what I want to talk about. So when Paul writes this in verse number 10, he opens the word. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," that's very important, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now let me just read this, and then we're going to go back to verse 10 and pick back up there. Verse number 11 says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith," watch this, "I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas or Peter, and I of Christ. Now verse 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" Paul comes back in verse number 14 and says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Cyprus and Gaius." Verse 15, "Lest any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." Now look at verse number 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Let's go back to verse 10 for just a minute. When we look at verse number 10, we see again that Paul is addressing the believers of Corinth at that time. And he addressed them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what he challenges them to do, again, let me say this. All of us are different. You've heard me say this probably 100 times. We're all different. We're not robots. Some people like chocolate ice cream. I prefer vanilla. But that is really not what Paul was talking about. When Paul wrote this, Paul was teaching them and telling them that we all speak the same thing. Now in this, we see where the Bible says that there's no other foundation can be laid other than the foundation that has already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Paul, even in these few verses in the beginning, Paul was trying to lay a solid foundation in his defense of the gospel. Now we know that Romans 1 and 16, we know that scripture very, very well. We've heard that scripture. I've mentioned it no tellings how many times in the scripture. When Paul begins to write this, he says this in the Word, in verse number 16 of Romans 1. He opens up and he says these words. There you go. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Again, Paul was establishing his belief. He was establishing the simple fact of his preaching and why he done what he did, and why he even took the time to do what he was doing. And Paul, again, was establishing the foundation. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." But again, Paul was establishing this argument, if you will, if I can use that word loosely here for just a minute. Because you and I, we have the gospel message today. We have the Bible today. We carry our Bible with us. We've read the Bible. We believe the Bible. We hold the Bible dear to our heart. But what about those that have never heard the gospel? What about those in third world countries? What about those that are infiltrated today with all kinds of paganisms and all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of things that are contrary to the gospel? See, the reason that I felt like that God wanted me to do this is simply to establish once again that you and I may never take away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do must be built upon Him. Amen. I know the Bible mentions this, and I didn't study it for this particular session this evening, or this lesson, if you will. But we cannot be like the man who built his house up on the sand when the winds come and the winds blew. And the Bible says that when the storm came, because it did not have no footing, it did not have no foundation, that house fell. And the Bible lets us know, and great was the fall thereof. But yet when the house has a solid foundation, that when the house, and again I heard this years ago, that the house can be no taller than it can be deep if you have no footing, if you have no foundation. But again, the winds came and the storm come, but yet that house did not fall, because it was founded upon a solid rock, and it was founded upon a solid foundation. So in this, Paul, even with these people of Corinth, Paul was coming back in verse number 10, and he was reiterating that all throughout this next three chapters of 1 Corinthians. So when he comes this, he said, we all speak the same thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there be absolutely no division among you. And there again, I'm not just talking about indoctrination. I'm not talking about believe in the Church of God tenets of the faith. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm simply talking about the foundation that's within Christensen, if you will, how that Christians believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And with you and I this evening, as we walk through this, there's no if, ands, ors, or buts about it, that the church must be built upon a solid foundation. Even in the year 2022-23, that the words of God are true. The Bible is true. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And Paul, again, was coming back, and Paul was addressing this and telling them, you cannot have this going on in the church. The church has an order. The church has a way in its foundation and believing about Jesus Christ. He said that we all be perfectly joined together in the same mind, that we all believe the same thing about Jesus. We all know that Jesus Christ is who Jesus says He was. And I'm going to get deeper into this as we walk through it. Perfectly joined together in the same mind. He mentions this, and he says that there be no division, a rip or a tear. And that's what he's referring to. Again, when you look in verse number 11, it says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are at the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. I don't really know exactly what those contentions was, other than what was mentioned right here. The house of Chloe was a residence. It was a lady in ministry. She was a Christian that Paul went there, if you will. And it was where, no doubt in my mind, Christians were gathered together. And commentary talked about how that there was a rumbling, if you will, among the contentions among the believers that was there. And then when you look at this, we can see that Paul uses that word. And then Paul comes back and he says in this, he says that there was contentions among them, arguments and rifts, if you will, and things of that nature. Verse number 12, and this is the contention that was in the house of Chloe, is because they were arguing of who's, I use the term loosely because I've heard it said before, of whose camp you're in. Amen. Somebody says, are you in this camp? Or are you in this camp? Or what camp do you belong to? I like what Tim Hill said one time. I belong to the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not a New Age camp. I'm not a higher Christian camp. I'm not a Buddha camp. I'm not a Word of Faith camp. I'm not this camp or that camp or another camp. I'm of a Jesus camp. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? So when Paul was writing this, Paul addressed this because he says these words to them, that that was there because the people and all the contention was there, saying that one was of Paul or one was of Cephas or one was Apollos. And then he asked in verse number 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then Paul expounds again upon this in verses number 14, 15, 16, and 17. And he talks about those that he baptized. And then in verse number 17, this is where we're going to take off and do the rest of the message right here. Paul says in verse number 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words, a wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, remind you that Paul was a very intelligent man in the law. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, if you will. And Paul did not let his education get in his way. Paul always, always preached the gospel. You heard it said years ago. Preach the gospel and only use words when absolutely necessary. And I believe that is what we need to focus on today in the church. Now, follow me here for a minute. When we think about the gospel, when we think about what Paul said there in verse number 17, Paul just simply came back and Paul built his foundation on what God sent him to do. Listen to me. If we're going to build the church here at Thomasville, we must remain a Jesus preaching church. Amen. I am convinced that there's going to be spirits, there's going to be opinions, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be those that with this opinion and those with that opinion. But my friend, I'm going to go back to what I said a while ago. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the first thing that I want to talk about the church on mission is simply this, that Jesus Christ, as He said, that Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Paul came himself to preach the gospel, so you and I today must always continue to preach the gospel. Jesus even preached. You can read that in the scripture. But what about Paul this evening? You know Paul. Paul was described, he described himself like this. He described himself as a persecutor. He described himself as one who was determined in his own heart to stop the growth of the Christian church. And Paul, whose name was Saul at the time, he stood opposed and he intended to destroy the early church. When we look at Paul's life, we can see that in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, when we look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, picking up in verse 12 through 16, when Paul began to write this, this is what Paul began to say. He says this in the scripture, and I thank Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul's reply there was simply this: I didn't do this of my own choosing. It's not something that I chose to do. When I think about Paul, I think about what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, establishing his life on the simple fact that God called Paul to preach the gospel. And then he says here in the scripture, if you look back in verse number 12 for just a second, we see this, and Paul says, He is the one that has enabled me. Listen to me. If you and I are going to be a part of the church of tomorrow, today, we've got to realize that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If there's ever been a day that we need an unction from on high to preach the gospel, you say, well, you're the you're a preacher and you're preaching and I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. You are a preacher. And what you're preaching may not always come out of your mouth, but it comes by your attitude and your actions and how you treat one another and how you do business in the marketplace. Amen. If there's anything I can say to you today is to preach the Word of God, however God allows you to do that. And don't bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In this we see that Paul was enabled. I like that word. I keep going back to that because it says that New Testament church in the book of Acts, he says, and you shall be endued with power from on high. It's an enabling power. If we're going to grow the church in the future, if we're going to grow the church today, and maybe this is a Sunday morning message, I don't know. It's just in my heart this evening. We've got to understand that we've got to be on a foundation that standeth sure. Amen. And everything that is not of Jesus, my friend, it will be sifted. And my friend, it'll burn up. It'll not last. But Jesus will last in all that we endeavor to do. And I believe today that the church's mission, again, is to preach Christ and Him crucified. Paul, when Paul says this, he put him in the ministry. Verse number 13, look what Paul describes himself. And you think, well, God could never use anybody like me. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter where you're at right now. What matters is if you let Jesus into your heart and then you change your life, let Jesus change your life, and then you get after God with everything within you. And friend, you don't look back. Amen. The Bible describes Paul as a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. But he said, when I obtained mercy, he realized because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But the point that I tried to make here was that Paul, my friend, was a blasphemer, a persecutor. And Paul was this man that was out to destroy everything that he possibly could concerning this early church. Again, when we look at Paul's life, we see this. He goes on in verse number 14. He says, and by the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, the key verse. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Somebody say amen right there. To save sinners. We must realize that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And one time in your life, you might not have been living a saved life. At one time in your life, you might have been on a wayward road to a place called hell. But thank God the Holy Ghost came by your way, knocked upon your heart's door, and God saved you. Hey, this is how I believe. If it's worth having, it ought to be worth sharing. Amen. We need to be taking the gospel to everywhere we possibly can do a reach, if you will. So Paul said that he said, I am the chief of sinners. Now, all of you know the life of Paul in Acts chapter number 9. You've read it, you know it, and I'm not going to take the time to go and talk about all of that life. But what about Paul the apostle? What about when his name was Saul? What did Saul do? Saul, if you begin to look in Acts 9 and 1, you know the scripture as well as I do. But he was on his road, on his way to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, we see that Paul had papers in his hand. He was going and he was a persecutor and he was going to do anything. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how God can take a person such as Saul of Tarsus and the Holy Spirit of God can get a hold of his life and God can radically change his life, if you will? My friend, when I think about Saul of Tarsus, I think about you, I think about me, I think about us and the shape and the condition that God found us in. Somebody say thank God for grace right there. Think about grace. Grace, grace. God's wonderful grace. And then we see what happened to Paul. Verse number 2 and following, we see that where he was there, we see that how that he desired letters. He, if he found any of them in the way, men, women, whatever, that they might be bound found them in Jerusalem, and he was going to have them killed. Paul, commentary, I don't know. Paul, I don't know if Paul in particular killed anybody, but he had his hand, no doubt in my mind, in getting other people killed. But Paul, my friend, you think about that for a minute. You think, well, I've went too far. I can't do anything else. I'm having a hard time. I've messed my life up so bad, there's no recovery. And I've often said this, if you're breathing, there's still hope. Amen. You can turn your life around. If you allow Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, God will take your old black heart, wash it in precious red blood, and make it white as snow. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God for what He'll do. If He'll did it for Saul, He'll do it for you and me. Now, again, when you think about Saul's life, we think about why Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. We don't need to turn back there in our text, because Paul said, hey, whatever you do, it's not of Cephas, it's not of Gaius, it's not of all these others. He said there's only one name that we need to remember. And I submit that name unto you this evening in the church house today. If we can just remember the name of Jesus, amen? And if we can get a hold of the name of Jesus this evening, it will transform our world today. And that's the church in mission, is to take the gospel out of the walls of this church and take the gospel message to wherever God opens up the opportunity for it to be taken. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. This is me. It's off the record. If you're not excited about your salvation, if you're not excited about your relationship with God, if you're not excited about your relationship with Jesus Christ, why in the world would anybody else want what you've got? Come on, somebody. We ought to be an exciting church. We ought to be we ought to be a radical church, amen. We ought to be excited about the simple fact that Jesus Christ reached down, and took us out of the sin that we were in. He saved us. He forgave us of our sins, and He transformed us. Why was Paul so excited to preach the message of Jesus? It's because Paul remembered the event that changed his life. It's outlined in Acts chapter number 9, where Paul begins to do this, and he says, and as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. We think about a flashlight. We think about these LED lights. I heard John Bevere talk about this one time. He said that he has been in the Middle East, in the desert, the Arabian desert, or wherever he said he was at. He said the light there is so bright. The heat, the intensity is so bright. But think about Paul. When Paul was in the desert, Paul was where he was at. John Bevere said, over top of even the sun's light. Think about that. Over top of even the sun's light, that the light of heaven came and filled his soul. Hallelujah. And you and I this evening, where Jesus teaches us of how that Jesus is the light of the world. Paul discovered, and Jesus came into Paul's life there, and he shone this great light from heaven over Paul's life. Now watch what happened. And then in this, we see that where he says, as a response to the glory of God, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul again was questioned, why are you still kicking against the very thing that we know is going to change your life for the better? How many people you know today, you've shared the gospel with them, you told them about the Lord Jesus, but yet today it just seems like, oh God, if they could just get it, if they could just get this message of Jesus, if they could just get a hold of it. No doubt in my mind, Paul had heard about Jesus, but yet on this day, when Jesus Himself came down and Jesus Himself spoke to him. I love this. And Paul said in verse number 5, Jesus said to him, as Paul said, who art thou, Lord? It is hard. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. He didn't use any other name. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He spoke to him there. He spoke to him and Jesus converted him there. And he says in verse number 6, and this is a very important thing to me as I was reading this and studying this. Verse number 6, I like this. And I think this is kind of where I was with this message this evening on reaching the lost and preaching the gospel. And what are we going to do as a church? I told Brother Hewitt earlier, Brother Chris, I said, you know the definition of insanity, don't you? He said, yeah, but maybe you don't know that definition as I know that definition. The definition of insanity is simply always doing things the same way and expecting different results. But my friend, sometimes we've got to change it up. Sometimes we've got to do things different if we want different results. And in this we can see that how that Paul was told in this text, he trembling and astonished, he said to the Lord, now watch this, and this is a very important question to me as a pastor and a very important question to us as the church, as we talk about being the sanctified ones, as we talk about being the set apart ones, as we talk about those where Paul said that there's no division among you, that you all speak the same things and you all know the same thing and the church is established upon the rock. When we know all of these things, he comes back in verse number 6 and he asks this question. He says, what wilt thou have me to do? What is it, God, that you want Thomasville Church of God to be doing? Now let me just put a little side note right here. We may have to do things different than we've ever done it before. You know and I know, we're dealing with a lot of different types of peoples and people today like we've never ever dealt with. And years ago, things was so much more simpler. Things was so much easier years ago in a lot of ways as far as preaching the gospel. And you know, years ago, families come to church together. Families, they would have dinner together. They would have devotions together and all these other things. I was mowing my yard today. And if this ain't for you, just throw it over your shoulder. Look at that wall over there. I don't know. But I was thinking today, what's the last thing that families do before they go to bed at night? Now, don't look at the preacher like, you know, sheepish or nothing. And some of you, this ain't even going to affect. But we're always on Facebook. We're always looking at what everybody else is doing on Facebook. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, I am guilty, okay? Look at my face, look at me, I am guilty. I was thinking about this as I was mowing my yard today. One of the last things that Sherry and I do at night, besides tell each other good night, is we get on social media and we scroll and we scroll. You don't do that? You scroll and you scroll. Boy, I wish I'd have had the picture. I told you it wouldn't affect you. I told you that. Many of you, it will not affect. But we scroll and we scroll and we scroll and we scroll and we scroll. And I was thinking, years ago, families, the last thing they did, Sister Betty, maybe me and you can have a conversation, I don't know. But families gathered around and they done devotions together and they prayed together before they went to bed. You see, that there's so much different in our society today. And this again, if this message ain't for you this evening, I pray that it be for myself and maybe somebody else. I don't know. But our society today is so much different. And if our society is so much different today, now watch this, the gospel is not changed. The gospel is the same. His word, thy word is forever settled in heaven. We're not going to do anything to change the authenticity of the word of God. And we can't do that. We don't have that kind of power to change the word. People may try to change the word, but that's another message for another time. The reason I said that is because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. There's got to be methods of reaching folks today that we have never tried that may just be working in our society today. I don't know all those methods. You say, well, you can't change the message. No. If you let's think about this. Years ago, there was this great old big thing called a phonograph. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen one. They had a big old record player thing, looked like it had a tulip on the end of it. I don't know, anybody ever used one of them or seen one of them years ago? Some of you may still have one of them. I don't know if I've ever even seen a real one other than on TV. If some of y'all don't even watch TV, so you don't even know what I'm talking about. But they would have, and you might put a record on that thing or something. And I know years ago I had a 78 or 78 and a half or something like that, and a real old thick record, real old thick thing. You put a record on a record player, and now they move from that 78 to like a 33 or something like that. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Charles, a vinyl record, and then you moved over to maybe an 8-track or something like that, maybe after an 8-track, maybe a cassette, and then you move over to like a CD or something like that. Now, today they got iPods and I this and I that, and they got all kinds of plugs in. I mean, they got all kinds of techniques to be able to do media today that I'm so media challenged and electronically challenged, I don't even know. I remember the first time I ever seen a CD. I did, after the cassette thing. You know, we used to bring cassettes to church and sing off of cassettes, and you'd roll, take a pencil and you'd roll it there to where the ribbon was, and you'd try to get your song at the right place, it'd start at the right place. Wow. A guy named Scott Rogers, his dad pastored the Clyde Church of God. He said, come here, I got to show you something. He took me in his bedroom and he showed me this CD player. It was awesome. He said, all you got to do is punch number 5. He said, and it starts right on number 5. Right where, he said, you can go back and you can hit number 3. It goes right back to number 3. I remember that. I mean, an amazing tool. But I said all that to say this, that those methods changed through the years. But the message stayed the same. When Paul received this word, he said, what will thou have me to do? Now, I don't know about you. And again, I know I'm a little different preacher and I'm a different type. I know that. I realize that. What is it that God's asking us to do? Somebody said, well, we used to do that, or we used to do this. Well, we don't even do that no more. How many people have you asked to church in the last 3 weeks? I thought it would be that way. I mean, seriously. We got to work the field, folks. We got to do something different. And Paul was this radical Christian. I mean, think about it. Christian killing. Again, he might not have killed nobody, but he had other influences that he did lead people to be killed. And God chose one of the most unlikely individuals to write 2/3 of the New Testament that actually turned the world around, even in 2022. And this was back in the 660 AD or something like that when this was being addressed. But yet we're still preaching this same Paul today that he addressed the Corinthians. And the message that he established the church on was the message of Jesus. Paul again in this, the next thing, he said, what would you have me to do? Listen close. I'm just preaching my heart. When you preach it your way. This is my way tonight. So what is it you want me to do? Watch this. This is really going to make the hair stand up on the back of your head when I get ready to tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. You say, well, you're the pastor. We're following our shepherd. Are you really? Are you ready for what I'm getting ready to say? Buckle your seatbelt, because it's going to be different. It's my heart. This is what I believe. Are you ready? Somebody say amen. Thank you. And he said this. He said, and the Lord said unto him, arise. You are on the ground. Now get your hide up and get busy. Hello, somebody. And then he says, well, what am I going to do? And he said, and go into the city. Go into the city. He didn't know what he was going to do when he got there. All that God had told him to do at that point was to go to the city. Now, I don't know, when I was studying that, it just hit me. I don't know about you, but I'm just foolish enough to believe that we can touch this city. Hello, somebody. There's a lot of churches in this city. But yet, how many churches are really doing and believing what they're saying and really doing what we're trying to do? Brother Russell, I don't know how to do it all. I have no clue, even at times, how to do what we're doing. Now, here's the part that you put your seatbelt on for. And you say, well, okay. And this may not be the appropriate time to do this, But if it's not, we'll edit it out of the message and you can forget about it. But this is just what I think. We're getting ready to have a meeting here in a few days, and I'm not just trying to sow this to the meeting. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you what I think. You do what you think, and I do what I hope I'm doing right. But he said, how are you going to reach the city? Go into the city. I wonder, Brother Cain, what it would be like. Now, I'm just talking, okay? I'm just talking. I'm having a conversation. Y'all are listening. What would it be like if we took $10,000, okay? $10,000. And we set $10,000 aside to do nothing but evangelism in the city. That's not to buy certain things. That's not gas cards and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if we took $10,000 and done only evangelism with it, do you think it would turn the city? I would be willing to try. And I mean, somebody says, well, is that something you're trying to tell us to do? I don't know. It's just in my heart. I don't know if I'm doing that or not. I'm just simply saying, what would it do if we had people in groups and teams and places? And see, here's the thing. If you don't have a burden for the harvest, this is nothing but chatter to you. This ain't nothing more than me taking up the next 20 minutes of your time and nothing but chatter. But if you really have a burden to see souls saved, I like what Mitch Toll said. He said, you've got to keep heaven dancing in the church. Heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. We ought to keep heaven dancing. We ought to figure out and intentionally win souls. Because when I went fishing with my little grandchildren the other day, I took bait. I took fishing poles. I took a reel on the pole. I took hooks. I took sinkers. I took bobbers afloat. I went with the intention of catching fish. I went with the purpose. I equipped myself. And you say, well, did you catch any? I sure enough did. Hey, I'm a mountain boy. We catch fish. I don't know why I'm on that again. Other than the simple fact that you got to be prepared. Amen. And I know I've had enough conversation as you can't bring people in from out there until we are prepared and hear and know what to do with them when they come. And I'm getting way off the topic this evening. Go to the city. For some reason, that's stuck in my mind. Go to the city. Several years ago up there at the, what's that thing called, a gazebo? Years ago, God put on my heart. We went right downtown. I rented it. We didn't rent it. We reserved it. Right after I came here years ago, we went and prayed for the city. We had some folks that came and brought a little sound thing. They sang with microphones. We sang some songs. We had church in the city. And people really come out. We were calling it Prayer for Thomasville. And we probably had 25 or 30 people. That would be a start. People say, well, do it again, preacher. Why don't you help me? Why don't we do it together? Why don't we unify our efforts and work together to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? You know the story of Paul. He told him to go on, verse 7, and he told him to go over to Ananias' house. You see that in the scripture of how that he was to go there, and all the men stood there and they led him by the hand. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. He fasted for 3 or 4 days. And then he came to Ananias' place. And the thing that I thought about too was Paul was blinded for 3 days. To me, and again in my mind, this was a major reset. He had to be blinded to what he was, to get his mind off of what he was, in order for God to show him what he wanted him to be. Sometimes we got to forget those things which are behind, and we've got to press for the prize of the high call of God. And God led Paul, and he led him there, and he led him to Ananias' house. Now watch this. When you look at this, the Bible says, again in verse number 10, And he says, a certain disciple at Damascus, that's interesting, that he went to Damascus and there's a believer. He might have been Paul's next person that he was going to go attack or whatever the case may be. And it says to him, the Lord showed him in a vision, and the Lord spoke to Ananias. He said, Behold, I'm here. Now watch this, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one who is called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man Ananias coming and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Look in verse 13. Ananias said, Lord, now wait a minute. Are you sure that you really want me to do this? And he says, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. When I was studying that early this morning, again, it's one of those words that jumps off the pages at me. I looked at this, how much evil this man has done. And I thought, you know what? We just somehow, in our mind and in me, and isn't it amazing how we like our comfort zone? We like it to be comfortable. Don't tell me you don't. I've been around here long enough to know. You like it comfortable, so do I. But what if God begins to make us uncomfortable? You've heard the story of the eagle, how that the little eaglets is up in the nest, the great big humongous nest the American bald eagle makes, and the little eaglets is in the nest, and you know that mama's getting tired of feeding them. You know, they're big enough to feed themselves, and so the dad comes together and the mom comes together and has a meeting. Says, I tell you what, let's just put a few briars and sticks and things in their nest and make them uncomfortable. And that way they'll get out of the nest. And as those things happen and these little eaglets, if you will, get to where it finally just pushes them over to the edge. And they've got a decision to make. Either I'm going to stay right here in this very uncomfortable place that used to be comfortable, or I'm going to learn how to soar. I'm going to learn how to fly. All of a sudden, from the edge of the nest, they stretch their wings and they fly. And all of a sudden, it's a brand new thing that they've learned to do that they've never done before. And I think about that in the church today. Maybe we just need to learn how to soar. Maybe we just need to learn how to trust God. He didn't know what he was going to confront when he went there. He came to Ananias. Ananias said, hey, this man, I heard how evil he was. Hey, you're going to run across all kinds of people. But in this, and I'm going to close right here in just a few minutes. And in this, we can see where, again, Paul was there and Saul was a chosen vessel of the Lord in verse 15. And he said, go, he's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, verse 16 says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We don't like that part. We like it comfortable. We don't like it uncomfortable. But yeah, Ananias was told of God, hey, go tell him that he's a chosen vessel, and get ready and tell him you're going to suffer some things for my sake. Again, I've not read Fox's Book of Martyrs all the way through. I've thumbed through it through the years. But think about the martyrs, even in the Bible. I read today where Peter was crucified upside down, where he wasn't even counted worthy. James and different ones, and how the different ones was counted martyrs for Jesus. And we think about you and I today and the day. Nobody likes to talk about martyrdom. Nobody likes to talk about persecution. But my friend, it's part of the mission. It's part of what God has called you and I to do, is to go and to do what He's called us to do. And sometimes it's even getting outside of our comfort zone. The last thing that I want to talk about is right here in verses 17 all the way down through verse number 20. And then that will be my introduction tonight for this message, because chapter 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians is where I'm headed, and we maybe get it next Wednesday or whenever. Maybe Sunday, I don't know. But here's what he says. He says in the scripture, and Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Interesting. He addressed him. Transformation. God is still taking lives and transforming old, wicked, evil sinners into saints and turning their life around. In our lives today, we think about people, I've done it. I've done the same thing over my own dad. I thought, how in the world could my dad ever change? I thought to myself, how? I've always known him this way. But great God, on September the 23rd of 2006, in the afternoon about 8:30 at night, my dad climbed out of the bed, fell on his knees beside his bed, and asked Jesus into his heart. My friend, God can still take an old black heart of a sinner. He can soften that heart up, and God can take the hardest man or the hardest woman, and God can transform them into what He wants them to be. Hallelujah. I've wore myself out up here tonight. Hallelujah anyhow. Have y'all received this word? It was a lot. It was a lot. I know it was a lot. It's a lot for me. Paul starts this there in the text. I'm not done there yet. Paul started this and he told them, I'm not of the house of Chloe and I'm not here in Peter's name, Cephas. I'm not in the name of the others that he was mentioning there. And Paul says this, is Christ divided? Was Paul baptized for you? No. And Paul's mission, when Jesus changed his life, radically changed his life. He says in verse 17 of this Acts 9, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeareth unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. He didn't stop there. He already was transformed. But he said, I'm going to put a little jet fuel in your tank. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're going to be endued with power from on high. You're going to be able to fulfill the mission because of the unction. And we've received that unction from the Holy One. Again, why the church today must be a spirit-filled church. Please don't get mad at the preacher. I'm not interested in some dried up, warmed over, belched up sermon. That don't impress nobody. And I'm not saying I'm all that in a bag of Lay's potato chips. But I want to hear from heaven. I do. I said this before and I'll say it again and I'm going to move on and close. But Thomas Field, you're too young to die. You say, we've been here 92 years, 93, whatever. You've not been here that long. The church has been around that long. I still think God's got a plan for the church. I want to be a part of that plan. Well, preacher, ain't you getting tired? You've been here 12 years. What's that got to do with it? I feel like I've just started. I'm just now getting my feet on the ground good. You've just now learned to trust me, and I've just now learned to trust you. You can't minister with people you don't trust. That sounds funny. But it's the truth. I'll fight for you and you'll fight for me and we'll go down together. Come on, somebody. Paul said, let there be no divisions or schisms among you. Rip, tears. Then he said that you receive the Holy Ghost. There in 17, 18, 19, 20, real fast, 18. And when he had received meat, they fed him. He was strengthened. They fed him a piece of grilled chicken, no doubt in my mind. Every preacher eats chicken. He was strengthened. You can laugh right there. It's okay. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples. That's interesting. He become part of the good old boys club. He joined in with the disciples. Before they were running from him. Before he wasn't to be nowhere near them. Why? Because they were afraid of him. They still were afraid of him. If you read this in the text, verse 20, and it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the churches, in the synagogues, in the Jewish synagogues. Isn't that interesting? That he is the Son of God. God has given the church the message for the mission. Now we've got to get busy with the mission. I could go on. I'm not. I could go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. We could talk about that whole thing. That's everybody's day right there. Several years ago. Chris and I, it's interesting that you put that up because Chris and I was talking just a few minutes ago. Everybody's day is typically in September-ish or so. We got a banner laying over there. And on that banner from Thomasville, we had where on everybody's day, where everybody, Thomasville Church of God, where everybody is somebody. Nobody really will care how much you know until they know how much you care. Friend, I hope that God spoke to our hearts tonight about the mission. We can't give up. You say, what can I do? I was talking to Ann earlier in the week. She says, I can still pray. I said, yes, you can. 101-year-old. She said, I can still pray. Can't do nothing else. I said, Ann, you just keep on praying. You just keep on praying. People like Bobby Sparks. Bobby told me Sunday, I pray for you every night, Pastor. I pray for you every night. Told me that Sunday. I said, Bobby, I appreciate that. I need the prayers. I need the prayers. But I also need people walking with us into the harvest field. And let me close with this. Hopefully by the weekend, there's going to be a form at the welcome desk. It's not done yet. My secretary is working on that, my wife. It's going to be a harvest card. That harvest card has your name, your address, your telephone number, and your email. At the bottom of that form, there's going to be a place for at least five names. Name, address, telephone number. We're going to gather those for about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And we're going to try to put ourselves together. Yeah, they're going to hang up on you. Yeah, they're not going to talk to you. But we're going to gather these names and we're going to collect these names and we're going to start calling folks and inviting them to church. And then we're going to have a little bit later on what's called a Friends and Family Day. And all these people that we've been calling are going to be invited to that day. And they're going to be your special guests that day. And we're hoping and praying. Probably not going to have a dinner and all that, but I'm hoping and praying that something will happen that day. You know, let me just meddle right here for a minute. If we had all the people in our church today that has been hurt by people, well, we'd be able to fill the church back up. And then some. Wouldn't it be nice if we were able to pour the love of God back into some of these folks and let them know? You know, I've heard, I'm meddling too much. But I've heard this in days gone by where that pastors has went, I'll use Sandra, she don't mind. But pastors have used this as an example. Sandra, I just want you to know Thomasville Church, God loves you. I don't know what happened, and I don't know who it happened with. But I want you to know we love you and we care for you, and we want you to come back and be a part of our church. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all it takes. You say, well, that's too easy. You go do it then. It's Sometimes it's the hardest thing you'll ever do is to go back and try to mend and try to build bridges instead of walls. It's not always easy. But I believe that God will help us. I could go on. I could go on for a while. But I won't. Verse number 20, where Paul was actually concluded that message, the Bible said, and straightway he preached. Preached means what? To proclaim. Proclaim Christ. Proclaimed Christ. You said, well, preacher, is that all it's going to take today? I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus is the foundation. We just got to get him out there. Amen. Stand with me if you will. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. Father, I've shared my heart. I've shared what is in my heart for this time together this evening, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that even right now that you would help me to be found faithful. Help me, oh God, even now to be about the Father's business. To be able to do the things, God, that you've called me to do as a pastor. God, I know that my job is to shepherd. I understand to shepherd the flock. And sheep beget sheep. And Father, I pray that we be soul winners. And God, that we even put an emphasis upon being a soul winner. And God, that we would prepare the church for the harvest. And God, help us all to be found faithful as we endeavor to do the work of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you. We honor you for your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I said it a few weeks ago, and I'll probably say it again. Use what worked for you tonight, what spoke to your heart. The old preacher said, eat the bones, or eat the chicken and throw the bones out. Amen. God bless you and have a good night. Amen.